Hello, and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time, but today maybe a little bit longer.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
All right. Dana, you know what I needed? I needed multiple sound effects there for first cups because it's not just us.
We have
a variety of guests on the line today for What's Brewing CISFA. So we want to welcome our guests, and some of these are repeats. So we have Tamara Chenard, Director of Financial Aid and Veteran Services at Butte College. She's also the past president of CISFA and the current vice president of state issues for CISFA. Welcome, Tamara.
Thank you, Dennis. Good morning.
Good to see you on screen, too. We have David Shook, financial aid director at Copper Mountain College, and he's our webmaster for CISFA. Welcome, David.
Oh, thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Good to see you over there in your office. And we have Brittany Blakely, who is your financial aid specialist at Copper Mountain College in the background. So good to see you, too.
Good morning. Good to see you. Good to be here.
No gotcha questions. Don't worry. We don't do that kind of thing. Except for this last guy here, Ken Lira, Assistant Dean of Financial Aid and Student Support Services at Irvine Valley College. And he's a past CISFA board member. Welcome aboard, Ken.
Hey, thank you, Dennis. Good morning, everybody.
It's good to see everybody and get many of you back on the show. We've had some of you on for interviews. And as we are wrapping up the year, and we are at episode number 48, amazingly, halfway to 100, if we can do this right for my president run. So we just have some general topics. So I'm going to start it off. I'm going to start with Tamara. So how have you fared this fall and this year alone? How are things going for you?
Well, you know, I think we've tried to find as many silver linings as possible under this COVID pandemic crisis that we've been experiencing. So it's definitely been a challenge. I think specifically at Butte, we were poised to move things online pretty easily by bringing technology in before COVID happened. So the shift wasn't so great for us, but it was really about the connectivity with our students and how do we maintain that level of service in a virtual world. So I think we've done some really creative things at Butte, but I think there's a lot more that can be accomplished. We really do, like I said, look for the silver linings. We've been able to do some really creative things. We started a YouTube channel and some fun stuff. So we definitely tapped into folks on our team and expanded some of their talents and brought in some things that maybe we wouldn't have had the opportunity to do if we were showing up at campus every day. So it's been difficult, but I think a lot of good things have come out of it and some things that we'll keep doing even when we're back on campus. So I'm looking forward to that, to those things. And I'm really looking forward to getting back on campus.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's been weird just going about once a month for me to pick up things, make sure everyone's taking home their office plants, unplug all the mini fridges and stuff like that, you know, just kind of keep that stuff going. And during the early time, we had a bunch of stuff that had piled up in the office so I could barely get through. So I had a couple desks I had to put together, you know, those variable desks that go up and down. Just to get the boxes out of the way and to make sure that, it's been interesting doing that. David, how about you? How are things going out there at Copper Mountain?
Well, they've been very interesting. I think Tamara hit the nail on the head with the silver lining and, mm-hmm. you know, we've been trying to do whatever has been most beneficial for our students. Whether that be, you know, having remote schedules where we can kind of rotate in and out and take control that way. But one of the things that we did this year was a virtual graduation ceremony, which was pretty awesome to be a part of that. I got mm-hmm. to announce the names of all the graduates that I normally get to do that, you know, down in the gym in person as they're walking up to get their diploma. So, you know, we're just kind of doing what we can and trying to keep everybody happy and sane as best as we can, including ourselves. So yeah, it's been interesting, but, you know, struggling and challenging at the same time, but I think we're all growing as individuals and employees and staff members and administrators and kind of learning as we go. So.
Well, and talking about growing, obviously you've got some new, you're new in your position, more or less. You've got a new person in your office, there. I know Copper Mountain is way out there in Joshua Tree. I have a brother who stays there much of the year. Mm-hmm. Brittany, how about you? How have you done this whole time of being online, I assume, working from home partially and all that? How's the adjustment been going for you?
It's been a challenge, but I think that we're trying to just stay accessible to the students. So we had to, like, get our remote station set up. My kids being at home was hard, you know, balancing work and then taking care of them, making sure they have what they needed. And then, but again, it goes with accessibility. I just made sure I was responding to emails like regularly, not waiting too long, because with the fear of the pandemic, we didn't want school to be a fear either. And sure. What kids wondering, oh, how do I pay for this? What's happening? You know, how do I turn in my documents? So I actually been making how-to guides for the students as well. So it makes it easier for them to follow, especially through the pandemic, how to submit their documents and get their financial aid done. So adjustments, but made it work.
Yeah, it's interesting what we've learned along the way as far as Tamara's YouTube channel, this podcast, like you said, creating these instructional videos. I think we've done some things like that on our campus, not specifically in our office, but, you know, how to use the product we use as Cranium Cafe for our virtual counter. So how do you use that and access that? Because that's a big thing. So, Ken, how about you? How are things down in Irvine area there, and how you've probably adjusted also for your students?
Yeah, I mean, I think most of us, probably financially, because we utilize so much technology, we were probably better prepared than most other departments in student services. I mean, many of us use Campus Logic and different products like that, you know, so we were able to move our staff quickly online to work in a remote environment. We had to make some adjustments, like we had to, you know, implement like a Cisco IP phone for phone calls. I think most of us are probably using like Zoom or Cranium Cafe to kind of have financial aid workshops, since those have moved to a virtual environment. But, you know, I mean, that's fine to get started, but I think what's important to note is that, you know, our role as administrators, we need to kind of switch from being more like passively receive information from students and be more active and engage in them. And so that means, like, you know, like what Tara mentioned about YouTube videos, emails, text messages, ways of engaging students. I mean, a couple of things we've done the fall semester as a college is we've had a couple of drive-through food distribution events, and we've given out financial aid information during those activities. I mean, it's all, you know, COVID safe, basically, you know, but we had to move away from, you know, helping students do their applications, you know, in person, to do it online using Cranium. So it's been a challenge, but I think we were probably better positioned than any student services department and probably just behind IT. I mean, IT is already used to working virtually, but I think we, as a department across the whole segment, I think we're probably better prepared than most.
I'd probably go with that. It looks like Tamara's shaking her head. Yeah, right. I mean, I think of some of our departments, really struggling to figure out the online world, the virtual, how to connect with students, and especially whether it's counseling and trying to figure out how to move students into that. Although we are doing some by distance ed students, you know, now you're doing 100%. How do you move along for that?
Hey, Dennis, one thing I do want to do is give a shout out. I think it has to happen to Linda Williams and the league. Mm-hmm. For the technology funds that the state appropriated to financial aid. I think that is a really good example of how The leadership of CISFA works with other agencies to ensure that our financial aid professionals are prepared and are providing efficient services for students. And that just goes to show you that in any environment, when you have that kind of support evaluate technologies that help you better serve students, then you're better prepared. So I do feel, and I've heard it across many colleges, that financial aid probably pivoted faster to online services than any other department, maybe other than instruction, because they had Cranium Cafe already. But I think that, you know, Linda and the league, they definitely deserve a shout out, and CISFA was a pathway for that to happen. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, especially as we're talking about how great financial aid has been able to respond to the COVID-19.
Absolutely. I'm 110% behind you on that, because, you know, that financial aid technology fund that just a couple years old, and yeah, we got kind of a nice little lump sum to start, and now we're getting our annual amounts, went a long way. I mean, even in our LA district, we were able to purchase a product that probably takes up most of that money or a little bit more, but our district is committed to it so that we can intake forms and do everything else in such a smoother fashion. I mean, Dana, you would say that things, we've made the switch over pretty well, whether it's contacting students turning in forms and all, I hope.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And like Ms. Tamara is saying, I mean, I think we were one of the, you know, not to toot our own horn, but, you know, one of the better offices to make that transition. And yeah, with the implementation of Campus Logic and Cranium and Zoom, it's been so helpful. I love it. I really do.
Yeah.
And I think, like I said, I think we've been doing a really, really good job. And I also agree with Kendall that we have to be more proactive when it comes to, you know, us being the ones reaching the students, because I have noticed, you know, there is a little bit of a barrier when it comes to technology with students. So I definitely agree with Ken on that. Like, you know, trying to figure out, you know, how we can be a bridge for them, you know, for them completing their applications and submitting their documentation and, you know, making them aware of what's available to them, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. It's, you know, I think it's going to be interesting as I don't know if many of us will be back on our campus regularly in spring, but maybe by summer for some of us, if things keep going along, it'll be interesting. And I know in talking with Anna Faye and some of the others on the last call and in prior things, because she works in our district, what we may try to carry forward after all of this pandemic stuff. You know, do we keep a virtual counter available more regularly? Obviously, we're going to be keeping the intake form type of things if money provides to do so. But, you know, do we do some of these extra virtual things, virtual workshops through Zoom and all? It'll be interesting to see where we take this next. So, thinking along these lines, you know, of how we've been doing and all that, I'll start with David and Brittany over there. Do you think we've learned anything in our interaction with the students and our staff remotely? Have we learned anything about ourselves and our staff that, you know, will help us going forward or help them?
You know, it's been interesting because for 15 years, you know, we've been helping students in person. You know, we look forward to them every year when FAFSAs are renewed, coming in and being excited about turning in their paperwork and helping them get financial aid set up and all of that. And then Brittany and I started in these positions about a year and a half ago. So she got a taste of what normal, quote unquote, is, right? Well, Brianna started this past September. And so explaining to her has been really funny and interesting, because it's like, oh, these tales of so long ago when students used to be on campus and you'd see them in the library, mm-hmm, you'd see them over in the cafe, you know, ordering food and all of that is so different now. And, you know, saying, well, what's really fun is when we get to go to conferences in person and you get to meet people that you've seen their, mm-hmm, name on your phone or in email or, you know, on a podcast or something like that. So explaining the what the normal is now completely different, you know, and learning our way through all of that has been really interesting. I did want to mention the importance of mental health and keeping keeping yourself safe and all of that. I realized that, you know, I drive to work in the morning and then I'm inside and I have to keep my office door shut. And then I leave when it's dark and, you know, I'm never out, you know, taking a walk or anything like that. And that kind of affected my psyche a little bit. So I think it's important to mention that, you know, making sure that you're taking care of yourself and your family and your staff members and coworkers, and, you know, just trying to stay positive through all of this, because, you know, these are kind of daunting times, and the uncertainty of the future can get frustrating. So it can affect you. You know, you gotta be careful with all of that. So.
Absolutely. And I know, you know, in our talking, obviously you have kids, Brittany, you've got a child or two.
Yeah.
So I'm sure trying to find, when you are working from home, or just, you know, knowing about, you know, their struggles, you know, how to work when you've got children in the house and you've got their concerns for education, because everything you read out there, if you read too much, and I'm not even talking social media news, but, you know, the K-12 system has had some struggles when they're not in person and trying to get high percentages of students to both interact and get through material and pass, you know, all these types of issues. I'm sure you're seeing that probably with some of the things for your kids.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a roller coaster. And then we just found out that they're not going back to school for the spring coming up. My kids, they're elementary and high school. And my son's in ninth grade. So he gets to experience high school like this, and it's really sad, and I have to just encourage him. Luckily, he's at that stage where you don't want to be the low man on the totem pole, and I'm like, yeah,
sure,
you know, don't worry, when you go back, like, you're not going to be the low man, you get to skip that. So I try to make it like positive, because we all know ninth grade was just not fun,
right?
No, yeah, no, anytime, but you're that first year in, yeah, it's tough.
So, you know, you kind of got to twist it to the positive. You have to look for those silver linings and all that, because if you dwell on the negatives or the things that you're struggling with, I mean, you go back into the mental depression, and you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got to try and stay positive.
And our kids are looking to us for, you know, as an example and inspiration too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that when we're, you know, coming home from work exhausted and they've been online school all day, and, you know, they're kind of looking to us for some sort of normalcy. And it's sometimes it's been hard to provide that for them. So,
yeah. Ken, how have you been doing on that? How have you been on adding the normal to your house? I understand, you know, you've got a wife and a couple daughters. So you're the low man, because you're the only man sitting there at home. How have you been coming through?
All the honeydew stuff. I'm doing that all the time. And we're my youngest daughter's getting married in January 8th. And so, you know, all the wedding preparations and stuff. So it's just, just a lot of busyness. And then we just got a couple of puppies. So, we're just now getting about 5-6 hours of sleep a night now. So, so all that's challenging, you know, on top of work and stuff.
So, having the daughters and the wife wasn't enough. You needed small animals running around.
Yeah. Well, we're all home. I mean, well, my wife went back to work. She actually started driving back in like in September, but for the first 5 months she was working remotely. So she was home. My two daughters from college are home. I'm home. My mother-in-law. So it's a crowded household. So when I hear people say, like, staff, like, it's really hard to kind of find a space to work. You know, it can be a challenge, because, you know, I've got to constantly look at my camera behind me, or if anybody's behind me, or, you know, make sure my speaker's off, you know, because there could be people talking in the background. So it's an adjustment, you know. You know, don't have the benefit of just, you know, being, you know, by myself in an enclosed room. It's kind of an open space.
Or worse, when you can't get away to the office.
I want to mention about the mental health thing. Yeah, early on, you know, that whole thing, like when you're taking care of your mental health, physical health. Yeah, making sure you go out and, like, I used to walk around the neighborhood, and then I would just take day hikes on the weekends. I would, you know, go to, you know, some of the places around here out in the desert. Joshua Tree was one of them. You know, weekly, you know, some step more than others, but making sure they don't feel like they're on an island somewhere, you know, off and alone.
I got you. Yeah. We're having a few little internet problems on my side here, so don't worry. We're still recording the show. I think what we'll do is we're going to take a small little musical break here and then work our way into our second cup, everybody.
And welcome back to our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
Time to make some refills, everybody. So welcome back. We'll actually put this out probably the second episode because I stopped recording for about 1 second as everything blinked on and off on my side. That's what you get for trying to run everything out of your own home computer. You know, Dana, I do have the one from the office finally. I got the new laptop. I just haven't had the fun of trying to hook it all in quite yet. You know, one of those things that's probably one of the things we learned about, not so much ourselves, but our needs pretty quickly, because I thought I was ahead of the curve because I had just enough laptops for all the staff when we bugged out in mid-March. And then, of course, whoever got the MacBook wasn't a Mac person. So we had to get them something else. And then me and Dana, we easily had the oldest laptops. You know, they had crank starts on them. And they were slowly dying. And mine completely died like 2 months ago. And then with enough pressure in the district, we got new laptops for pretty much everyone, including good old Dana there. You can finally work at twice the speed probably because it's so new.
Yes, and people can actually see me when I do Zoom conferences.
That's right. Your camera, her camera before looked like she was in San Francisco on a foggy day, and the fog would roll in, and there'd be Dana somewhere in the background. Just not really sure where she went, that's all. You know, as we're moving forward into the show then, maybe let's talk about, seeing that this is the week of Christmas, and so we're obviously into the holidays. Some of our staff are taking vacation days on top of what you might call in holiday days or non-instruction days. Any big holiday plans out there, Tamara? I see a gigantic tree behind you, so I assume you are a festive type and probably have decorated your whole house very well.
Dennis, you know me. You know me well. Yes, I love Christmas, my favorite holiday of the year. There's just something so joyful and, you know, the lights, I don't know. I just needed some good spirit with everything that's been going on. So I actually decorated before Thanksgiving. Yes, I was one of those people.
Okay.
And the reason why is because it takes a long time to put a lot of stuff up and I want to enjoy it for a little while.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got you. Yeah, no, I think that's the way to do it. I mean, my mom, growing up, and you know, many me and my brothers are the same way, that there's no reason to put it off if you've got it and you know you want to put it up and make sure you decorate your house well. I like that.
That's all I wanted. My husband said, "What do you want for Christmas?" I said, mm-hmm. "I just want to have a really happy, joyful Christmas. That's it. It doesn't yes. no pre. It doesn't have to be presents. It doesn't. I just want my family here. My daughter flies in on Wednesday tomorrow mm-hmm. from Albuquerque, so I'll get to see her beautiful face, and we'll spend the Christmas holidays together before she heads back on Sunday. She has to be to work on Monday.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, so it'll be a nice break. Hopefully, we'll get to go up to the snow and do a little bit of sledding over the holiday. My son turns 10 over Christmas break, mm-hmm. so it's always fun trying to separate the Christmas holiday and his birthday. Always have to take one room down really fast so I can decorate it with his birthday stuff.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, we'll be doing a whole conversion from Christmas to birthday around December 28th. So, yeah, but that's it. Just enjoying my family and relaxing as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ken, you said you have a wedding in January for your daughter?
Yeah, my daughter is getting married in January 8th, and it's going to be outside.
Okay.
You know, kind of a smaller venue, but it's going to be up near David's Way, David and your brother's way, Dennis.
Okay.
Up there in the high desert. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, there's plenty of space there to spread out. You know, that's good.
Yeah.
So it's
just like, you know, even for a guy, it's like I try to let my wife handle most of it, my daughters, mm-hmm. but it's a lot of work. You don't realize. Mm-hmm. and then the money keeps going out, you know?
Well, of course. Yes. That's why we are all also very happy and fortunate to be employed through all of this because it's amazing. Even regular life's expenses, just getting through, it's tough. And I know we've got students out there and probably some of our part-time or temporary staff that have been going through some issues, and of course, you know, just always thinking about our students, you know, trying to do what we can to help them through all of this.
Yeah, that's a really important point. I mean, we're all blessed because we have jobs and we're actually, you know, getting paid. We're not displaced. We're not underemployed. So we want to, you know, stay humble and always keep that in mind, because that's, you know, I know people that are not working that, mm-hmm. You know, unemployment is coming to an end or has come to an end. And so it's tough.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I know, I'm sure we've all seen the petitions from our students when it comes to academic progress and where they stand on a lot of this from last spring and the summer. You know, people even going into this fall, you know, are still trying to make that adjustment in line to doing online work for classes, sometimes doing their work online, sometimes coming in and out of work. You know, I mean, we've had in our state of California alone, because we do have listeners from outside the state sometimes, if you've read about California, everything is true, the good, the bad, the ugly. But we've been open, then we've been closed, then we've been open, then we've been closed. And so we have certainly students and others who have been working, then weren't, had stimulus money, then didn't. And so I think it's good whatever our colleges are doing, and I know we do a variety of things, all the better, you know, as far as food banks, food delivery, food pickups, equipment, computers, technology, things like hotspots, try to get them through academically. I think some of our schools with culinary arts program in particular have turned into basically meal preparation places, and that's good to hear from across the state on things that are going on. David, anything special for you for this holiday? Brittany, for you for this holiday season? I see the sweater, though, that's good.
I am just like Tamara. I did it early, decorated. However, my son was completely against it. He's like, you can't do Christmas on Thanksgiving. So I had to get a vote from the family, and Christmas before Thanksgiving definitely worked and won. So we did that. We actually had a Thanksmas. I called it a Thanksmas because the kitchen and the dining room was decorated in Thanksgiving, and then the rest of the entire house was Christmas. And we did gingerbread houses a little different. Mm-hmm. On Thanksgiving, we usually wait Christmas Eve, but we did that on Thanksgiving. And this time around, it's just quiet, my family, but I definitely wanted to enjoy the holiday spirit way before it was meant to, I guess, because I love Christmas. I love what it brings. I love the joy that comes with it. So, yeah.
You know, it almost seems like there's a time warp in between Halloween and New Year's. So it's like within a matter of days, it seems like, you know, it goes from, you know, dressing up, you know, taking the kids trick-or-treating or whatever the socially distant protocol was this year around. And then New Year's is all of a sudden here. So I think I'm going to invent like a three-sided decoration that can be Halloween and then Thanksgiving.
That's a good one.
And all you have to do is just rotate it as it, you know, as the holiday comes up. But yeah, for us, it's just going to be, you know, I sing on the worship team at my church. And so we're going to be doing that three shows this year for New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And then just going to be traveling down and visiting with some family for the 25th and 26th. So then we'll be back, and I have lots of projects and cleaning up my garage /workshop, sawdust in places that it shouldn't be now. So
Now, let me just ask you a question, because my brother who lives out in the desert, he's a mechanical kind of guy. Do you have space in your garage to fit a car?
Questionable.
Okay. That still sounds better than my brother. There's no way a car will ever fit in his garage again with all the tools he's got.
It'll fit in there if the doors will open is another question.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, if you can get in and out, that's
a whole other thing.
Fit in there, yeah.
So you need a convertible where you can climb out the top, hang onto a rafter, and get your way out to.
Exactly right.
Okay, yeah. James Bond at all.
Some kind of like teleport machine or something.
I like that. I like that. All right, everyone, let's take a little musical break before we head into our last segment and do some summary here on our last of shows with everyone. And just like that, we are back for our last sip, everyone. So get the last sip of whatever beverages you're drinking. No judgments there, Ken, whatever. I'm just kidding. I didn't see your cup there. Martini glass? Okay, I got you.
It's a Pellegrino. No, I'm just kidding. It's water.
Look, we can't have commercializing of the show now. I'm just kidding. It's a nonprofit organization. It's a nonprofit show, unfortunately. So, as always, during our last sip, we usually do, if you want to, any I Dare You To selections of books, CDs, and stuff like that. Let me start with Dana, seeing that Dana's been quietly monitoring the world over there for me. Dana, you got any I Dare You To selections for our audience?
Oh, man.
Any new
music? Take naps.
Wow.
On your vacation.
Is that a name of a book naps. Or an album for you? I should
write a book. No, you know what? David, you and I, we need to get together and create this decorating situation where we can just, like you said, rotate it, and then and then we're already on the next holiday,
right? Yeah.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, and like you can even do a combination for the springtime. We've got, you know, Valentine's Day,
Easter. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I love it.
People would be all.
We can
all
retire once we invent this device.
Man, yeah. It's a wrap.
I like that. Tamara, how about from you? Anything that you have out there you would like our listeners to do or read or watch or something?
I would dare your listeners to. I did this with my son the other night and it was really fun. Professor Noggins has these card games, Brittany, David, for those of you that have little kids. We did the presidents of the United States, and they have an easy version and a hard version. And I'm happy to report that I'm smarter than a fourth grader.
Awesome.
By two. But it is all questions about the presidents, but they have all different subjects. But it was a really fun game. I learned a lot in this game. I didn't retain much in high school, so I'm not sure what was going on back in those days. Mm-hmm. But I'm learning now, but it was really fun. And if you dare to see if you're smarter than your 9-year-old, have fun playing that game.
Wow.
Fun.
I should buy that just because occasionally when I do get out of the house, it's card night with a couple guys in a grog smoking cigars. And we've tried a variety of games. Maybe I'll bring that one up because I have a feeling it would be very challenging just for us too.
Yes.
Ken, how about you?
Yeah, huh? Intimidating.
I bet. Yeah, who was before or after Abraham Lincoln alone is the questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ken, how about you? Any I Dare You To selections?
Dennis, you know, I'm drawing a blank. I can't think of anything on the spot. Yeah, no problem. I know. I'm sorry I let you down. I just say, you know, stay safe and well this holiday break. You know, you don't want to come back in January sick. So, yeah.
I got you. David, Brittany, any selections from you guys?
Well, is it okay to recommend an adult drink?
We'll let that go because of the holiday season. Okay, sure thing.
Absolutely.
Drink, and I'm not a big drinker. Tamara, you know, I would rather eat cheesecake than have a drink. But my wife, Sarah, the other day was making the kids some hot cocoa.
Mm-hmm.
And so she made one for each of us, and it had peppermint twist vodka in it. So she put the whole shebang. I got, you know, mini marshmallows in there, and we got to turn on the fire, and we just, you know, we watched Christmas Chronicles 2 with the kids and just sat and relaxed. And it was great. It was the perfect amount, much needed after a long week. So peppermint twist, vodka in hot chocolate with marshmallows. You can stick a candy cane in there if you want to.
Add more.
Very, very good, nutritious, and delicious.
Wow. There you go.
What up on that, David?
What a recipe. What a recipe. Yep. Brittany, do you have anything like this that gets you sane? I was going to say sober, but sane is the right word.
No, I would say just playing games with my kids. I've been playing Mario Kart with them a lot lately, and they kick my booty. You know, I try, or maybe I just let them.
Gotcha. Dana, you're going to say something? I'm sorry.
No, I was gonna ask David, what was the name of the the drink again?
It's a peppermint twist vodka.
Gotcha.
Look up the brand.
Well, we'll get that all, everybody, off air as we close out the show here. Thank you all for your final thoughts here on some I Dare You Twos that gets us all through. For Dana and all, I think that's about all we have time for today. But don't worry, there will be more episodes coming up this week and into the coming week.
I see it.
Okay, we've got a screen.
He put a picture of it.
That's right. We'll put it into the show notes for everybody so that you can know what you need exactly to mix. So I want to thank our guests, Tamara, David, Brittany, Ken, and, of course, my co-host Dana for joining us here on What's Brewing CISFA. And thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
So, hey, boss, you got to put the text back on the screen.
Oh, no, I do, don't I? This is what happens when the show shuts down mid-show and nobody tells me about it but my great host. So, Dana, you've got your lines.
Oh, goodness. So, everyone, check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcsfa@gmail.com.
Well, we do have good news, at least here. For this and all WBC podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com. Or for those on Apple devices, open up your podcast app. To find us, just look for CISFA. Search for us. You can also find our episodes at wbcsfa.podbean.com. That's pod and bean is one word. And you can find us on Spotify and Pandora, and now iHeartRadio.
Hey, yo, hey, that's awesome. What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and myself.
And this has been episode number 48 and 48 and a half, actually, recorded the morning of Tuesday, December 22nd, 2020.
Hey, everyone, have a great day.
And have a great week.
Yes, everyone, have a great week. Thank you for joining us.